into our conversation this evening in the review of the wireframe. So we've actually already talked about a lot of these. Not exactly in necessarily the wording that we see here, but the examples that we called out. Things like making sure that we're very clear in the presentation, using some basic design things, similarity, proximity, layering, content that goes together, meaningfully is placed together in space, we put it near one another. There are a few things that I wanted to use an example that Kurt came up with at the beginning of class this evening in terms of positioning things and meaning. And so we have this, and I've just drawn it right here, so it's from the below the blue line there. He had this menu that he's working on where he was combining some functionality. Forgive me if I'm forgetting exactly what the labels were. But essentially, there's a set of lighting controls that are here. It's like a home monitor, like a home atmospheric app, you know, controls the climate and the lighting and the windows and doors and stuff like that. So we've got this lights control, and there's two parts to the menu. There's this slider that you hit lights, and there's a slider that you can just gesturally touch up and down, or you can slide up and down with your mouse, and it makes the lights brighter or dimmer. But there are also some other menu items that pop open here. So there's lights on, lights off, there's the ability to choose scenes, there are different ambient lighting programs, you know, so it's currently in scene two, which is like, we're in here, right? Lights are off on the screen, dim in the room. Scene one might be all the lights on or something like that. And then a few other controls that were in here. And his question was just about combining these interface elements into the same drop-down menu. So a brightness control, as well as a series of menu choices that you could do things that were relevant to lighting. I was initially confused about the interface because I thought that what I was seeing was something like this.
Oh.
Right? It's what it looked like to me. I had a series of choices. There were even dividers among some of them, and I had this slider. Now, in Windows 7, the slider is being used to control the size of the icons that are there down to their smallest size, and that's a continuous slide. And then as I move to the next sections, notice that the behavior of the slider starts to lock. So I've got one slider. From here, it's continuous control. I'm snapping to them if I want to, but I can go to sizes in between. But then I get to this point, and it's like, just list, click, just details, just tiles, just content. But what I'm doing is I'm changing the size and amount of information that I'm seeing in this folder, right? And so I thought initially that that's what we were seeing here, that this slider was tied to these menu items, and that each of these menu items, as I moved up and down, was a variation on a continuum, right? Like, this is the biggest icon and this is the smallest icon. And then when I read the menu items, I realized that the first section was about lighting and the brightness of the lighting of the scene, but then the second section was like completely different and unrelated. And the third section was yet another different one. And I didn't understand how this slider was continually adjusting between things like sound, light, and smell, right? I mean, that's not really what it was, but they were like these three disparate things. And then I realized, oh, this is a separate control than these. This is the brightness of the light, and this is a menu. And he's just showing me the brightness control and the menu at the same time. This control is not actually related to these. And I was confused by it simply because of the proximity, right? Oops. This is close to this. It had the same height. It appeared to be related to a continuum of options. It was a false association, and it was all because of proximity. They were placed near one another, therefore they must be related to one another, right? And because it crossed these boundaries, these visual boundaries, I thought that that meant that these things were related, but just grouped in some way. But in fact, they were unrelated, and this was a completely separate function. So it only took us a minute to realize, oh, I thought that was related to those things. It was close, right? Gestalt principle of proximity. They're close, they must be associated. That it wasn't. That this is really related to just these things, and that we could easily fix it with a simple rearranging, where when the menu opens up, we have now light status, scenes, and we can have, like, it turns out that that's a brightness override. And then a break, and the next menu items. And then a break, and the next menu items. So now, these things here are grouped together because they are all related to lighting. But each row is a separate function. The lights are on, kind of a toggle. I can just click, and all the lights go off. I can click on scenes, and I get a list of options. Which scene would you like? Cinema, reading, bedtime, romantic dinner, whatever the different scenes might be. And then a brightness override. That whatever the scene is right now, I can generically make every light in the house a little bit brighter or a little bit dimmer, right? So whatever they are, make them brighter, make them dimmer. And it now is a bit more clear that this is an option, this is an option, this is an option, and this is all relevant to the current state of the lighting in the apartment or in the house. Proximity creates meaning and creates association sometimes when we don't expect it to or we don't want it to. And so simply rearranging and repositioning things can help us create groups that are more meaningful or less meaningful. So just moving things around can make a big, big difference.
I would like to comment on that. I think in this particular case, there's probably not only the proximity, but your previous experience bias, because I haven't used Windows for, I don't know, 10 years or something like that. And when I saw this, like slider on the left side, I thought, wow, how clever, it's a separate control. And I didn't associate it with something on the right. So probably there's also some previous experience bias. So Windows users will think it's the same. And
right. What I think, though, that what we immediately would have realized in the difference, so the first time you interacted with it, if it was or was not tied to that, would have either confirmed or violated your previous training, right? Yeah. So if you moved it and then it seemed to be related to these things, you'd be like, oh, I didn't expect that.
Yep.
Or vice versa. Like for me, it worked the other way.
Mm-hmm.
What we have to be careful of, though, is that we can't anticipate that everyone coming in is going to have the same prior experience. Mm-hmm. Two people in this room looked at that and had two very different perceptions on it. But we need it to work equally well for everyone.
Mm-hmm.
So if we've got a situation where prior experience is going to bias people in different ways, we need a compromise. We need a hybrid so that their pre-biased state is not going to interfere with their ability to interact with it.
Mm-hmm.
So in its current form, we may alienate every Windows user, right? But the Mac people who have never seen something like that are like, cool, two controls in one. And vice versa, right? It might go the other way around. So if we do this, however, then it may work for both groups regardless of prior experience.
Yeah, I see.
Yeah. So we have to consider, definitely, your previous experience always comes with you on things like this. Okay, the rest of the list, these are things that probably are not surprising to you. We've talked to them. Some of them are some visual cues, some things in here that visual design deals with, like color, brightness, warm colors, and cool colors. But some of it also is relevant to like the iconography issues that we were talking about. Meaningful organization, meaningful representation of imagery. So there's just a mix of different considerations in here. We talked about all of the key ones from the interaction design, sort of wireframing, storyboarding perspective. Okay, so the exercise we're gonna do in class tonight, one of my favorites, this is a designing for constraints. So we're going to work, and we'll break up into teams of three or four in here. We're going to sketch a really simple, inexpensive digital picture frame. So this is not the kind of high-end thing that you're gonna spend a couple $100 on. You know, you're gonna go to like Walgreens and spend $17.99 on it for a cheap Christmas present or something. So it's, you know, it's the fake wood plastic frame and two cheap little buttons on it or something like that. Little digital screen on the inside. The trick here is that you can plug it via a USB cable into any computer so that you can transfer photos onto it. It's battery operated and it's got two buttons on the front of it. And everything that you can do on that computer has to be done through just those two buttons. Remember, this is cheap. It's not a touch screen, so there's no touch screen option here. Two physical buttons. I'll show you an image of what we mean. So a little bit of definition has already been done. You might want to note this down because the requirements are down below the screen. Pressing one button is like moving forward and backward to the images that are on the picture frame. So if I press the right button, I go to the next image. If I press the left button, I go to the previous image. So they're just navigational controls. I walk up to the picture frame, next, 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 next. It just automatically loops around through the pictures, right? It's a non-terminal or a circular looping of the images. If I press both buttons at the same time, it takes me into the control menu, right? So we're going to work on the control menu. When I press both buttons and I get into the control menu, there's a certain set of functions we're going to have to account for. I have to be able to set the transition style. So when I go from one image to the next, is it going to be a slide? Is it going to be a fade? Star fade, is it going to be a dissolve, something like that, but choose different transitions. I have to be able to choose the transition timing for the autoplay feature. How many minutes will pass, or how many hours will pass before the pictures automatically change on their own, right? So I've got 100 vacation photos in there, and every 10 minutes or every hour, it automatically goes to the next image in the sequence. I can override it by pressing the button, but this picture frame is just automatically rotating through all of my favorite photos. So every time I look at it, it might have a different picture on it, but I can control how often it goes through that auto rotation. I need to be able to review the photos that have been uploaded. So I need to go to a mode in this, control mode where I get a gallery view of all the pictures. And it's not like it's only got, you know, two pictures in it. We might be able to load, say, 50 pictures into it. And it's not a big, big picture frame, so I need some way to paginate through or scroll through or something through a whole bunch of smaller images of all the photos that are on the frame. So those are three key things that need to be done. And then there's a few other things that if you have time, you can start to add them. The key things first, though. So we already know, review photos in the gallery, paginate among the photos, maybe the ability to mark a photo as hidden. So I put it on the frame, but I don't want it to be in the slideshow. Maybe it's only available if I go to it manually or something. The ability to delete photos, you should add that one in this one, right? How do I say, oh, I don't want that photo on the picture frame anymore? Or how do I erase all of them? Yeah, this picture frame was fun, but now I'm going to re-gift it to someone at the office. I need to go in and take all my pictures off and put fresh batteries in it, put a ribbon on it, and say, happy birthday. Rearrange the photos. If I want to change the sequence that they're showing in the slideshow, maybe I uploaded them, but they came in the wrong order from my vacation. So all of the water slide photos show me in the pool first and then at the top second. I need to switch that around.
That's a tough one.
Maybe an undo. And then the ability to save, right? Yes, all of my changes, please keep them, exit back out to the photos. So the only two things really that I would say we'll have time to maybe think about tonight are deleting photos and then getting out of the control mode. Save all of my changes, take me back out to the regular photo display mode. Okay, so I'll show you a quick picture. Here's our picture frame, right? Cheesy plastic frame, two fake wooden buttons, and a digital photo that displays in the middle. It's about 11 by 13 inches. The buttons are about an inch wide, or about an inch long there. So you get a sense of the size of this thing. You have two buttons. What I want you to do in class tonight is that list of functionality, I'll go back to it, and I'll write it up on the board again also. Two buttons, I land on a control screen. How do I control this picture frame with only two buttons, right? How do I pick a mode? How do I make a choice? How do I go move, paginate through sets of things? How do I navigate with just two buttons?
Yeah. Is it important that all of these features be only accessible via the control screen and not by some other combination?
Yeah, you can't plug it in to the computer and control it there. You have no touch screen. There's no accelerometer. This is a cheap Walgreens picture frame with two buttons.
I mean, like holding down the right button for 3 seconds.
Oh, you can do that. However you want to interact with the buttons. So if you want to say click three times and then once on the other side, if that's the interaction, go for it, right? Or if you want to do, short hold, long hold, or hold one and tap the other, go to town. But it's got to be done through two buttons, right? And so thinking about ease of learning is going to be an important thing here. Like, you don't want to include a Morse code book with, the instructions, because that's, with Morse code, English on the left hand and French on the right hand or something like that. It's like no one's ever going to use the picture frame. Okay, so I will write up, write up here on the board what the core requirements are, and then I'll move back to that photo. So find your groups, find the people you want to work with, three or four. Sketches, right? Think about what the interactions are, think about maybe what the landing page is and how you're going to start to move around through things.